Daniel Sutton. Good afternoon. Thank you for attending. This afternoon, I signed an order recommending that Deputy Christopher Connell be terminated effective today for the circumstances surrounding his second OWI arrest. In doing so, I once again place the outcome of this incident in the hands of the Personnel Review Board, asking that they not overrule the accountability that I have imposed. Since becoming sheriff, it was obvious to me and anyone not suspending their sensibility that within the Milwaukee County Sheriff's Office, there was no accountability, no discipline, and no sense of direction. I knew that a culture change was in order. I reminded our officers of the meaning of a sworn duty and of the public's reliance on the vital services that our profession provides. In establishing a code of conduct, I raised the bar of appropriate behavior and acceptable performance in this organization. Unfortunately, the Milwaukee County Personnel Review Board thinks the standards are too high. I don't. The public expects a high rate of return on their expensive investment in government employees. They certainly deserve better than they received from the Personnel Review Board in 2008, when that body set aside my recommendation to terminate Deputy Connell upon his first drunk driving arrest and instead reinstated him as a law enforcement officer. So here we are again. For other department employees in county government, it is reasonable to separate certain off-duty time behavior from their paid performance. But that is not the case for law enforcement officers. Apparently, the Personnel Review Board believes that it's okay for officers to be arrested for drunk driving and then return to their sworn duty as if nothing happened. The Personnel Review Board is a faceless body that has the luxury of operating in anonymity and making decisions that affect the public behind closed doors. Their decisions rarely attract media coverage, except in rare situations. The Personnel Review Board has no true democratic accountability. This is a body that has reinforced their belief that the needs of county employees outweigh the interests of the public. The Personnel Review Board is accountable to no one, not the voters, not the citizens, and not the taxpayers of this county. Well, I am. No other public entity or official lives in this type of vacuum. In fact, the Personnel Review Board often makes decisions that negate what the voters of Milwaukee County elected me to do. That is, to maintain the good and honorable order of the members of this organization and to hold people accountable and to extract high performance from them. Law enforcement officers occupy a position of great public trust, which calls for the very best from them. This forms the concept of being held to a higher standard, which we who wear the badge accept voluntarily. A higher standard is not a double standard, nor is it an unfair standard. Granting the great authority and power of law enforcement without the commensurate imposition of a higher standard would be unfair to the people that we serve. Character, adherence to the code of conduct, personal integrity, and daily commitment to the public trust form the legitimacy of any law enforcement organization. Values do count in this organization. Unfortunately, when our words and actions are in opposition to what the Personnel Review Board believes should be expected, it erodes the public's confidence in our ability to serve them. In other words, how a person actually behaves is more important than how they say they behave. The PRB's 2008 reinstatement of Deputy Connell following his first drunk driving arrest sent a message to other officers that said, "It's all right, go ahead, you can behave just like anybody else." The public outrage that has been expressed in our local media over the past few weeks says quite the opposite. People expect more from their law enforcement officers. As a law enforcement officer, this deputy has not modeled the behavior that we have demanded from the general public when it comes to the dangerous, sometimes deadly and risky behavior of driving under the influence. Our agency has been on a mission to rid our roadways of the slaughter and carnage that results when people drive under the influence. Attacking OWI crimes is a cornerstone of our overall effort. We have displayed this commitment through our formation of a regional multi-jurisdictional OWI task force. We discuss and critique our strategies and results in the fight against OWI on a daily basis within this agency. When one of our own engages in drinking and driving, how do we reconcile it with the public or with the 1,429 people we arrested last year? In fact, the alleged allegations and serious violations of Deputy Connell display a marked failure to even consider the well-being of those he has sworn to protect. It is a slap in the face to his fellow officers as well. But I have an obligation to the people of this county to root out those who exhibit behaviors that are not compatible with what the public expects from a law enforcement officer on or off duty. The obligations of deputies are very high and are critical to the success of this organization. In law enforcement, all officers are judged by the actions of a few. This may be unfair, but it is human nature. The fact that the overwhelming majority of the men and women who put on the badge live lives of integrity pales at a time like this. I do not feel that people are infallible, nor do I ignore the reality of human limitations. However, that is no reason not to expect the very best from those who wear a badge. I have sympathy for anyone suffering from any type of addiction and sympathy for their loved ones who are directly impacted. But at the same time, the onus is on the person to overcome and defeat the demons that they face. We cannot want them to overcome an addiction more than the person affected wants to. As compassionate human beings, we all want people to defeat their addictions. But daring those demons by going to a tavern and staying there until the wee hours of the morning is not what is prescribed in any treatment program I have ever heard of. Our officers, including Deputy Sheriff Connell, voluntarily accepted the higher standards that accompany life as a law enforcement officer. He was free not to accept this public trust if he did not want to live up to it. Thank you. Any questions?
What did you do as part of your internal investigation? Did you review the squad car video that's been out there? Did you interview police officers? What was part of your internal investigation?
Our internal investigation was very comprehensive until the personnel review board gets that case, which will be either late this afternoon or early Monday morning. I don't want to get into the aspects of that. There is some confidentiality that attaches to that from the employee's perspective.
What was Deputy Connell's assignment between his drunk driving arrest in 2008 and now?
He was assigned to the Detention Services Bureau.
And is that across the street or what?
Yes.
Building?
Okay. Does the Personnel Review Board have the final say-so, and is that an arm of the county or union, or what is that?
It's an arm of the county. And they review the recommendations that I make in terms of discipline. Any employee has the right to go to the Personnel Review Board for a hearing to challenge my recommendations. Some of those are automatic. In other words, when I recommend that someone be terminated, it's automatically appealed to the Personnel Review Board and certain levels, higher levels, automatically go to the Personnel Review Board.
Speaking on this latest incident, was there preferential treatment or just someone dropped the ball? Can you talk about that a little bit?
Well, I want to really be delicate about that issue because it's another agency's investigation. We were not the agency involved, obviously, at the scene. I was not on the scene myself. None of our personnel were on the scene. They made certain decisions, well documented in the media, as to why they did that. All I really want to say is the following morning I was notified that this incident had occurred, that West Dallas police had come into contact with a member of this agency. That's something that is done routinely by all law enforcement agencies. In other words, if we arrest a member of another organization, we will call and say we arrested one of your members, or we issued a citation to one of your members, because oftentimes the officer themselves will not inform us of that, and we don't know or won't find out till later on. So when I was informed the next day by my staff that this had happened, my first response was, when I was told he was not arrested based on the circumstances that were relayed to us, my comment was, this is not going to pass the smell test with the public. But anything relative to the investigation, I want to leave to the West Dallas Police. I wouldn't want another agency commenting on my investigation. I'm going to extend that courtesy to them as well.
Sheriff Clark, wasn't there a conversation even before you got word between somebody at West Dallas Police and somebody like the overnight supervisor or something? And did that supervisor ask if he had been arrested, or was there any conversation about that?
That's the contact that I'm talking about. West Dallas called the shift commander for our organization. They said we came in contact with one of your deputies and gave some of the circumstances. The captain would have been the night commander. I don't know what he asked, but he did take some notes and pass that on through the chain so that I was made aware of it in the morning. The agencies do not call to say, what do you want us to do with them? And I want to make that clear, because I think there's the implication that through these calls that they're leaving it up to the agency. That's why I was puzzled as to why he was not placed under arrest. We did call the West Dallas Chief of Police the following day and kind of had those questions, I think, that you're alluding to, that you're asking if our night commander had. And the chief at the time day wasn't aware of all the circumstances, said he would look into it and get back to us, and in fact he did. And he had some other, he felt some other things should have been done, but it's their investigation, their discretion, their whatever. And I'll let Chief Youngblue explain why they did or did not do certain things. But if I were in the same situation and I found out that our agency had another agency's law enforcement officer detained for similar circumstances, and I found out that an arrest had not been made, I would not have been happy about it.
Sheriff, the investigation aside, what do you say to the viewers at home that saw that video and that behavior from one of your deputies?
I have great faith in the general public. I don't have to say anything to them. That tape didn't need any interpretation. And that's why my initial reaction was, it's not going to pass the smell test. I meant with the public. The public bristles at the thought that its law enforcement officers are going to engage in behaviors that the general public can't get away with. They don't like that, and rightfully so. Like I said, it erodes the public trust and it erodes the integrity that a law enforcement organization has. So I'll let people come to their own conclusions. The tape kind of speaks for itself. And the thing right now is to allow the criminal process to complete itself. Charges were issued, I believe, 2 days ago. And so he'll have his day in court. My part is separate with the internal, which I ruled on this afternoon. And some of that I can't get into specifics, because the employee has certain protections of the investigation that they have to okay before they be released up until a certain point, and then we're still in that phase. So once it goes to the PRB, though, I believe it becomes public record, and you can go and get some aspects of the internal. But suffice it to say that I was convinced that the decision I made is the right one, and we'll go forward and see what the Personnel Review Board does with it.
At any time did Deputy Cannell work OWI patrols for the Sheriff's Office at any point in his career?
I don't know.
Was he on the road at any point before his previous OWI arrest, or do you know?
We can look that up for you. I don't know what all of his assignments have been, but we can get that for you.
What is the status right now? Is he still on suspension?
My recommendation for termination today means that he comes off the with pay status. So now, right now, his status is without pay. And suspended, yes, but terminated without pay. But that's subject to appeal.
Are you somewhat frustrated with the process that the Personnel Review Board, when you try to have them dismissed before, they overruled you, now you're facing the same thing again?
Well, I don't know if frustration is the word. This has been going on for some time. I have a file with letters that I've written to them trying to explain what we're trying to do here in rebuilding the culture within this organization, holding people accountable, a code of conduct that we instituted not too long after I got here that lets people know very clearly what conduct is expected of them, and included in that code of conduct is an off-duty clause. And that's been approved by courts, I believe all the way up to the United States Supreme Court, that said there are certain professions, and law enforcement is one, that off-duty conduct can be regulated. It's limited, but that's important, because when you're a law enforcement officer, like I said, you can't separate and say, well, you know, that was off-duty. There's certain things the public demands from us all the time. No off the clock on certain things, and I think that's reasonable. It is a higher standard, and everybody can't live up to it. But one of my responsibilities is to figure out those that aren't or can't, and to make recommendations in order to separate them from this organization. When corruption and unethical behavior seeps into a law enforcement agency, the public no longer trusts that organization, and it's very hard to get back. We've seen that nationally. The New York Police Department, with some of the incidents that they've had that have been high profile, the Los Angeles Police Department, it isn't just the big ones. And I've maintained that the public has no use for a law enforcement organization they can't trust. So they watch these sort of things, and they want to make sure that still somehow woven within the fabric of that organization, that there's people there who are going to hold people to a certain standard and maintain that public trust. It's one of my responsibilities. I don't take pleasure in separating people from this organization, but that's one of the responsibilities I have. Everybody's not a good fit. Everybody's not worthy to wear the badge in the uniform and represent their community. That's really what we do. We represent our communities. And we can't, you know, waver, and we can't sometimes yes, sometimes no. That inconsistency makes the public look. And that's how the public comes up with certain perceptions about a law enforcement agency. That's that broad stroke I talked about, where, you know, what happened in the Rodney King incident, all of law enforcement across the United States was indicted. And what that did was it reinforced some of the perceptions and sometimes the misperceptions that people have about what law enforcement officers do and the kind of behavior they engage in. So all of law enforcement suffered from the Rodney King incident. That's the nature of this business. And if you look at the country of Mexico right now, one of the problems that they're having is that their entire police organization, and they have a national police, is corrupted by the drug lords. And once that happens, it's not good. So, you know, these things are they're tough. I think long and hard about it, and I view them individually. I'm not saying that everybody needs to be fired for everything or terminated for everything. That's not it. But I was convinced the first time in 2008 with this particular deputy that the circumstances surrounding it, not just the fact that he got arrested for drunk driving, because it is the first offense, and I'm not saying that that's okay, but what aggravated it were the statements that he made to the officers on the scene in an attempt to get out of it. You know, they should let him go because he was a cop, and he's let cops go. And the things that were written about in the paper, which are statements he made to those officers on the scene, that aggravated that situation, which is why I recommended a termination after his first offense. There are probably times on a first offense where maybe that is not appropriate or not necessary. I can't say which one that would be, but that was an aggravated one. And so this thing that goes on with the Personnel Review Board and the back and forth is just to get them to understand, because I believe that they're looking at, because they hear personnel decisions regarding parks employees, DPW, other civilian employees, and I think they group law enforcement officers in with that same thing. If a parks employee were arrested for drunk driving, I don't know that necessarily that that's always the right thing to do, to fire them for that offense. But it's a parks employee. It's not a position of trust. It's not a position of respected expectations and higher standards, but cops are different. So I think that they're taking that same mentality and applying it to law enforcement officers. That's the struggle that we're having here. Not that they should rubber stamp everything that I do, but you can't have a cop, a law enforcement officer, being arrested and making statements like, hey, you got to let me off, I'm a cop, what are you doing? I do this all the time, I let cops. You can't do that. But they apparently thought that that wasn't that aggravated. Well, I disagree, but it was their decision, and like I said, here we are again. So we'll see what they do this time.
Could Deputy Cannell win any favor with you if he accepts responsibility, steps down, doesn't fight your decision?
I don't know if I've given that any thought, and I don't want to answer it without giving it some thought. Apologies have to be sincere, and he apologized the first time. It's like anything else in life. Somebody does it again, it's a little tougher to believe. I believe that he's suffering from an addiction.
What does it specifically say?
But that doesn't excuse this behavior. You don't go to a tavern if you're addicted to alcohol.
Is there anything specific in your handbook or employee manual for deputies as to what their conduct is supposed to be at a restaurant or tavern as far as, you know, how many drinks they're allowed to have or anything, any guidance there for your employees?
No, these are adults. And they need to make, and it's different for everybody, they need to make those determinations. The conduct clause that we have is kind of general. It says your conduct has to be above reproach, and it has to be as such that it gains the public's trust in us. And so we can kind of, you know, I don't need to list, and we don't need to list 500 things and what to do.
So is it tonight or Monday the Personnel Review Board has a hearing?
Oh, no, the hearing won't be tonight or Monday, but that's when they'll get the... Right.
Okay.
There's a process of paperwork. You'd have to ask them.
The courtesy call that you referred to late in the night, is that policy or is that a courtesy call department to department? And is there any standard across the state?
No, that's a courtesy. And I don't think anybody has it in their policy. I insist on we come across another law enforcement officer and stop them for a traffic violation or whatever, we will call that agency and say, hey, we stopped your officer so-and-so, issued him a citation or whatever, he was speeding, he was whatever, and let them know. Because like I said, and I'm dealing with that right now with some employees at our facility down in Franklin. I took that over, and we're going through that whole situation now, but we have had people there that we found had warrants out for their arrest. They don't tell you that they've been arrested, or they won't tell you, and that's why law enforcement, that wasn't a law enforcement agency, but that's why we do that. Oftentimes they won't tell you. Now you got a cop working, and this hasn't happened, but this is what could happen, who gets arrested and maybe in some other part of the state doesn't show for court, and then there's a warrant, and you got a cop working on duty, and he's got a warrant out for his or her arrest. That's why we do that sort of thing. And usually what it will result in is an internal investigation. That's another reason why I do that. I don't know what everybody else does, but we've gotten calls, which is why West Dallas call. Well, I don't know if it's their policy, but you need to do that. They don't ask what we should do with them. And I don't ask, or my people don't say, what do you want us to do with them? It's, we stopped them for a violation, we gave them a citation, that's the end of, I mean, that, as far as ours goes. You don't leave it to somebody else. You can't do that. I don't have the facts. Why would they ask me, should we arrest them? I don't know. I didn't do the field sobriety. I wasn't on the scene. I wasn't this. I wasn't that. That's why they don't ask. It's just a notification.
Sheriff, while I've got you, are your deputies helping Milwaukee today in this widespread search for this missing infant as it relates to that triple homicide in the South?
Let's keep that separate. We'll get you that information after this.
Okay.
Sheriff, you said you wouldn't use, you didn't know if you'd use the word frustrated. What is your reaction? How would you characterize how you're feeling, reaction, response to just the entire situation, the whole situation surrounding Deputy Cannell?
Well, obviously, it's disappointing. Might even be to the extent of being infuriated. But frustration is an emotion that doesn't help. It is an emotion. People do get frustrated, but I find that doesn't help. I am determined to continue to let the Personnel Review Board at least understand. They still should be able to make whatever decision they want. That's why when they reinstated them, we had to take them back, and we don't put them in a driving situation. I don't trust that they should be in that capacity. But at the same time, I just don't think they have a good grasp of the culture within a law enforcement agency and what should be expected and why. They're looking at this strictly from interest of the employee and what impact it might have on him or her, so on and so forth. That should be considered. But what should always be the number one consideration, what are the needs of the public and what are the needs of the organization? Not what are the needs of the employee. All right, I maintain this county, the people of this county don't need law enforcement officers that are going to behave in that fashion. That's my position. I don't have sole authority, and I feel it's an ongoing process. I won't stop with the Personnel Review Board to explain our approach, our code of code of conduct, the higher standard theory. Sometimes these things just get to be concepts when you say officers are held to a higher standard, and you know, what does that mean? And that's what I'm trying to impart onto them, that this is not like a DPW worker who would get arrested for drunk driving or a zoo worker who would get arrested for drunk driving. They could probably go back to the zoo and do what they do, feed the animals, fine. But it doesn't work for law enforcement. It's not compatible. Thank you very much.